Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to be inspired! Introducing in the red corner, American Tennis! And introducing in the blue corner, your host for American Tennis, Mr. Chuck Griese! Ladies and gentlemen, time to get in the game.
And more late morning, and my apologies to everybody. We're about 3 or 4 minutes late getting on the air today. I am in Atlanta, Georgia today, and for the last couple days attending some USTA meetings, and very, very interesting, and a lot going on and a lot to talk about. And those things I can talk about, absolutely some very positive stuff. Also, this last week, the ITA convention down in Naples, Florida. We're going to be talking about this and much more, and we will have a special guest on today later in the show. But I wanted to remind you, just like every week, our mission of American Tennis is to have you stand up and to speak out, and we always remind you of the quote from Edmund Burke that all that it takes for evil to prosper is for good people to do nothing, and for changes to not occur, good people to do nothing, or to have things sort of put on you that you don't want to have put on you, or other people's will to be imposed on you, or tyranny, or any of the things that go on that we just don't like and we don't have anything to say about unless we stand up and speak out. Edmund Burke says this, but here's the key. You must stay professional. You must address issues and not people. And you can say pretty much anything you want. This is America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. And our guest today, when he comes on, I'm going to have him tell his story, the entrepreneurial story that he has, and it very much falls in line of what we have been talking about over the last 2 or 3 weeks. We have had a series of entrepreneurial tennis people on in the last 2 to 3 weeks, and this person is an entrepreneur. He has created a website and a Facebook that has now over 1,000 contributors. And we're talking about the We Coach Tennis website and the We Coach Tennis Facebook. And I wanted to say, and when I bring him on, I'm going to ask him to tell the story. But it's been about 2 years ago. I was having a conversation with Mr. J.P. Weber over the many, many things that were being imposed on us without really much care or much liking by the people out in the field. And I said, we can either be whiny babies and just ask for some cheese and crackers to go along with our wine, or we can stand up and do something. I said, why don't you do one of those Facebook sites and get people to talk about it at least? That's the beauty of this Internet thing. It connects people. There's a lot of negatives, but the beautiful thing, it connects people, and you can talk about pretty much anything you want to. And sure enough, before I knew it, he put together this We Coach Tennis website, and the rest is history. There has become a vehicle to stand up and to speak out and to say those things you want to say. And this has caused a lot of collaboration with, and I don't like the word collaboration so much, folks, because they're using that with everybody. That's sort of the new phrase, and it's a little bit trendy, but the collaboration between coaches on different things through the Facebook, and people are saying what they want to say. And people go from addressing sometimes people to talking about issues to finding solutions. I always say that there's five levels of relationships: cliches, facts, opinion, feelings, and needs. And for so many years, we have operated in cliches and facts and worrying about what other people might say about us or something or another. And then we've gotten to opinions, and people almost shut it down there. But once people understand that another person's opinion will not hurt them, they'll stay with an opinion, and they'll ask the other person their opinion, and they genuinely get a great dialogue. Then you go to feelings and you go to needs. But, you know, all those steps, they take time. They take time. The mission of American Tennis, though, is to encourage you to stand up and speak out. If you want to be a guest on the show today, we ask you to go ahead and call in at area code 714-583-6853. That's 714-583-6853. This is the UR Tennis Network, the letter U, the letter R, 10, the number 10, and then the letter S, network. You can go to and Google any show. You can Google my shows, American Tennis with Chuck Creasy, and we've had now pretty close to 100 shows in the last 2 years, folks, and they're all on the UR Tennis Network. If you will look for them on your iPhone and just go to the podcast. So they're all out there, and I think that The thing that is beautiful about the UR Tennis Network is you can get a show every day of the week, and it's all about tennis, and you're allowed to talk about those things that you want to talk about. We also have all of my shows on my website at chuckcreasy.net, and you'll see the American Tennis icon and hit on it. You also can sign up for my camps. By the way, we have a competition camp at the Citadel this week. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and it's a fantastic thing for your youngsters to learn about power momentum and learn about competing in this beautiful, beautiful game that we do have. So anyhow, this is American Tennis. ChuckCreasy.net is my website. T3 Mentorship is another place you can get some of my videos and other things. We're looking for Mr. J.P. Weber to come on the line here in a minute or two. But just for a minute, we'll go to commercial and be right back with American Tennis. And this is Coach Chuck Creasy reminding you of our competition camp this weekend, December 20, 21, and 22 at the Citadel. Call area code 864-710-6973. That's 864-710-6973 to sign up at the last minute here. The power momentum is the most powerful force in sport. Tennis has often been called a sport where it's like chasing a cat. the harder you try and the more you chase it, the more it runs. If you sit down and relax, the cat will come and jump in your lap, and tennis will present another opportunity for you. But it's all about the power of momentum. Learn the secrets of momentum control, shot selection, tactical excellence during the heat of the battle. Come to the Citadel this weekend, December 2021 and 22, and learn about the power of momentum again. The number is 864-710-6973. You can learn about momentum. And this is Coach Chuck Creasy with American Tennis. I wanted to talk about something a few minutes here. It's dawned on me, I've been to so many meetings in the last couple, 3 weeks that I don't really get it why, with so many good people and so many wonderful organizations, why we seem to get log-jammed. I don't understand this. Whether it's in our government, my golly, we've had a stalemate going on for the last so many years now, and we just can't get together and solve the most simple solutions. This is the greatest country in the world. We can't solve problems of finance. We can't stay on a budget. We cannot do certain things. And I do not understand why we are so deunited, divided, divisive, whatever the word is that means that we have not come together and we are not unified. And there's a couple things I wanted to talk about here in my commentary today. And as I'm waiting for Mr. Weber to come on, but the thing that when you have two groups of people with opposing points of view, it's a healthy thing. We all know that. We know that in theory. We know that some people come at things from the more conservative side, some people from the more liberal side. The beauty in all great leaders is that they have had the ability to bring people together and get them to find a common ground that benefits everybody. But we have become so divided now, and we hunkered down in our own ignorance, in our own piety, in our own daggone pride. My mother used to tell me many years ago that the high horse is a very lonely perch. And we all know that pride cometh before the fall. But there's an arrogance about all of us. I don't know whether it's we just have so much information that we might think that everybody in the world would want to be like me if only they knew how. And where we get this from, I only can say that we have more information and we do know some of the issues, but we're insecure as far as how we approach things. So I've wondered about this, and there's got to be something simple that solves our problems. So here we are with several civil wars going on in tennis, in the world of tennis. We definitely have a civil war going on in college tennis, and I want to be able to talk about that here in a little bit. We've had a civil war going on over the green ball agenda, or the what are they called, all red, ROG ball agenda. And it's been a nasty fight for the last 2 years, people going back and forth, and you're wondering as a coach, will this ever calm down, and will we ever come together, but to recognize the freedom that all of us have to have a different opinion. So here's where I'm going with this. Here's something that I realized. It was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I was arguing with a loved one of mine on the phone, and I don't want to embarrass him, but I was arguing with a loved one of mine on the phone and who has a liberal agenda. And, of course, I was coming at him. If you've listened to my show enough, you understand that I absolutely have an agenda of less control from top, more control from down below. But the bottom line is, as I just saw Mr. Weber, I think, Coach Weber's come on the phone with us, and I'm going to welcome him, and I'm going to tell this story. But Coach Weber, are you there?
I'm here.
Coach Weber, thank you for
coming on. Can you hear me?
I can hear me? Great, and I know that other people can as well. But I've got to tell this story about how you solve arguments. And it's going to be, I'm not necessarily in-the-box type of coach, as you know. But one of my loved ones was, we were having this discussion. He's liberal, I'm conservative, and we were having this discussion about 3 weeks ago, about 2 months ago. And it ended up in a shouting match, and I said, "You are this," and he was yelling back and said, "But I'm going to do this and that." And then we were just ended up in almost yelling contest as a family member. So this is the way it happened. So we got that place, and we shouted at each other for about 15 seconds, and then all of a sudden it was just silence for about 10 to 20 seconds, nothing. And then I go, "I love you, man." He goes, "I love you too, man." And it was like, hey. And then we talked for 15 minutes like best buddies. And I remembered back, JP, being on the playground, and who were the guys that became your best friends? They were the ones that you had about 15 fistfights with, or you had arguments with, but you sort of had a commonality that you were willing to go past the cliches and the facts. You would go to the opinions, the feelings and the needs. You would go deeper, and even if it came to blows when you were a child, and nowadays we don't allow people to fight, we don't allow people to argue, we don't want this atmosphere where there is conflict, and without the conflict, you don't have resolution. I'm almost convinced that the British have it better, you know, and they do it better. They'll get into Parliament, and they'll yell back and forth at each other, and then pretty soon they'll come together with a solution. But we sort of say, well, our gentlemen here, and we try to be nice, and then we sort of wiggle around it, and we don't get anything done. What do you say, Coach? Am I on to something here? What are your thoughts?
You talking to me, or is there another gentleman on the – are you talking to J.P. Weber on that one?
Coach Weber, you are about one of the coaches in the whole country. So you, when I say coach, I mean Coach Weber here. So Coach
Okay,
Weber,
well, look, I'm all with you on that. You and I have tussled in the past. We are still, I think, great friends. We agree to disagree. We started that We Coach Tennis thing. You know, you want to give me a little bit of credit for it, that's fine. But, you know, we started that in large part together. And on that We Coach Tennis thing, things get fleshed out pretty good. People, you know, they go at each other toe-to-toe a little bit. And I think there's a lot of good stuff that comes out of that. There's some resolution in some of that. There's a couple of guys on there. I tell you right now, on that We Coach Tennis thing, they're going crazy over this new college tennis format you got. They're speaking out on it, you know. And I think that's where you'd find I don't know, you'd probably find some resolution, you know, in the end on that. But I suppose you guys, you went down there to Naples to try and find some resolution. I thought you found some resolution. It sounds like it didn't get resolved the way it was supposed to be resolved. Is that right?
I'm going to tell two stories here in a minute, but, about the meeting down in Naples, the ITA convention, I'm going to tell that story first of all so it's out there. But the second story, I'm also going to talk a little bit about what I've been through the last 24 hours, which is very uplifting, and I've got to a lot of positive things to say about what's going on as we speak downstairs in the hotel that I'm in where I'm doing the show today. But I'd like for you to tell the story of We Coach Tennis, because I already primed the show by telling the listeners about you, JP, and about what you've created with the We Coach Tennis website and also the We Coach Tennis Facebook. So could you tell the story?
Well, I mean, it really is, to be clear, and you know, I don't want to get people misled. At this point, there is not, and I don't know if there ever will be, an actually standalone We Coach Tennis website. There is or there is a forum on Facebook called We Coach Tennis. And on there...
Your website also, let me put in your website. Okay, it's Tennis Dynamics, where you have some very, very direct and to the point articles, blogs, and different things. On what's your website there? That was what I was referring to then.
Coach JP Weber. Coach JP Weber's on there, and we do some review. We look at for example, one of my pet things is, and you and I might disagree on this, I don't like the idea of foreign players any more than you do. You and I probably disagree on the fact of whether or not there should be a limitation on it. I'm one of these people that believes in freedom, so I think a coach should be able to decide where he goes. That said, I attended a Georgia Tech Miami tennis match not too long ago, and they had 12 singles players out on the courts, and between Georgia Tech and Miami, there was one American on the court, and that was disappointing to me. You know, so we bring up issues like that. We compare teams. You draw the line. You know, the difference. You know, probably a little bit different than, you know, you draw the line on the idea of attacking someone maybe personally on a certain level. I think that, you know, if you're a head coach in basketball and you choose to do certain things, or you're a head coach of football and you choose to do certain things, well, people are going to look at you. They're going to look at see what your record is.
You're saying that you ought to call people out more by name.
I don't know about by name. I'll tell you a couple of things that are going on. You've got all the struggles that we're dealing with the USTA. The USTA is, look, they're good people. You and I have talked about this before. Up and down the line, from the national to the sectional to the district level to the local level here in Atlanta, we have good people working. The problem is that they've become so invasive, so big, so involved in everything that they have to be, you know, if they turn around, they're that, you know, as Wayne Bryan described it, they're this 800-pound gorilla. Well, if they turn around in a room, they knock things over because they're so involved in stuff. I personally think they should be less involved. They should pull back in a lot of ways. Well, that comes down to administration, and that comes down to the people, and that comes down to policies that are set up. And so I look at who's making policy. I want to see who's making policy. I want to see, and that comes down to the people. And I think that, you know, we can talk about ideology of this or that, but it comes down to why certain people do things. We have it bad in tennis. We have it bad, you know, at the college level. You know, the story, you know, and I don't want to let the cat out of the bag before you do, but, you know, the story you related to me regarding the way the vote was held, and then, you know, things got changed and things of that nature.
No, it's
not
right. Not right.
It's not right, but that comes down to people. So, you know, we can skirt around the issue a lot. The thing is, though, is I don't think if people put themselves in positions of power, I think that they need to be held accountable for the decisions that they make. And so if somebody makes a decision that's changing lives and it's changing people and it's changing the way things are going to happen, you know, I personally think that we probably ought to take a look at them. We don't have to call them names. We just have to deal with them. And
well,
I think it's okay
to
differ with people.
JP, I agree. I think there's just a different way of doing it. I think that I look at it from the standpoint that we are all forgiven sinners, to tell you the truth. I mean, I am a natural born sinner like everybody else out there in the world. And, every person in the world falls short of doing what is right sometimes. And it becomes, when do your actions become who you are? So
well, can I give your listeners a great example? Do you mind if can you give me 1 minute to give you a great example? Let's go back to that college coaching scenario where you've got Miami and you've got Georgia Tech. Now, you and I differ. You and I think Brian Parrott's got a thing going on, but y'all are trying real hard to look at possibly limiting. And that's one way of doing it. You can limit the number of foreigners on the thing. I think it should be left up to the coach. They should have the freedom to do what they want. But by the same token, if that coach decides to recruit foreign players, he's going down a line. He's taking a certain route in the way that he coaches. Now, you just went back to the Citadel. You're at the Citadel. You haven't been there that long. I call you up. Coach, where are you? I'm in Spartanburg. What are you doing, Coach? What are you doing in Spartanburg? I'm recruiting this guy. I'm over here looking at this guy at his practice. I said, can we talk later? He says, you told me, I'm on my way to Greenville. What are you going to do in Greenville? You can't talk? No, I can't talk. I'm recruiting. I talked to you 2 weeks later or a week later. Coach, what are you doing? I'm at the Eddie Herr. I'm recruiting. Coach, where are you going tomorrow? I'm recruiting. You're out doing and going and making inroads as the head coach at the Citadel with American kids, okay? Now, that same Georgia Tech coach and that same Miami coach down there in Miami where, I just got finished listening to Don Petrine talking about the fact that Miami, Florida is covered up. You can't get an open tennis court down there. There's so many players down there, players everywhere. And these guys aren't making those inroads. What they're doing is they're sitting at their desk, maybe looking at tennisrecruiting.com or net or whatever that site is, and then maybe writing a few letters to foreigners and bringing it in that way. That's wholly and totally different from what you're doing, and I got to take my hat off to you. And I do that on, Coach J.P. Weber.com, and I do that on We Coach Tennis, we ought to point people out that are trying to do it in a way in which has got some, what do you call them? It's character, but there's some valor in it. You know what I mean? There's something you can get behind and believe in. I can believe in what you're doing there. I'm your biggest fan now. I'm a big fan of the Citadel. Okay, because of the way that you're doing it. The Citadel's been at the bottom of that conference for I don't know how long. Something special's happening there. I love what you're doing, but you're taking a different path. Now, that ought to be highlighted. That ought to be brought out. People ought to see that. And the differences ought to be highlighted between the way you're doing it and the way, somebody else is doing it at another school. And I think that's important. But there's one example right there where, you need to bring these things up.
Well, I agree, and that's what the
beauty
of it.
Touches a nerve, but we need to talk about it.
The beauty of the We Coach Tennis Facebook and the UR Tennis Network, because we get to talk about all these things. But talk about the We Coach Tennis, P, and all the things going on there. What's going on today?
We're just at 1,000 right now. We get another coach on that site. Another 10, 20 coaches apply, and when I look at them, when we look at people who apply to join, I kind of vet them a little bit and see if they're really coaches. And if they're not coaches, we probably don't put them on. But there's just under 1,000 all over the world now who signed up. Many different opinions and things of that nature. One of the best things about it is you got to write down what you think. Now, there's a lot of people that don't write down what they think. I'll tell you this, too. There's a lot of people, very significant people, in the tennis business that are on here that are coaches who don't post, but you can see as an administrator, they're reading everything. They're watching everything. They're looking, they're looking at all the stuff. And every once in a while, they'll post on something. Some of the great coaches, Vic Braden's on there a good bit. I see Dick Gould on there.
Wow.
guys are reading and these guys are, you know, looking at this stuff, and it gives people a chance to write. Now, the other thing that it does is this, and it was back when we started this, it's now been about 2 or 3 years, Coach, there was an effort on the part of the USTA to sort of squelch dissension. Dissension, a lot of times, gets labeled in this as you're a, you know, a no-no guy or a ninny or a negative guy or, you know, somebody that, you know, is not, you know, a team player or this or that or whatever else. So they create a mandate, they put out a mandate, you're not for it, well, then you're, you know, you're hurting progress. You know, I think dissension and I think debate and I think, like you said, confrontation, I think talking about this stuff is great. They got to write about it. They got to put it on there. We got people from all over the world doing it, weighing in on a variety of different things, from the red, orange, and green mandate to right now one of the hot topics on there is this change that was made to
collegiate
tennis. It's a good thing. It's a great thing, and I think that your radio show, I think that Jason Haynes deserves a lot of credit. I had a show on here. There's Lisa Stone who has a show. You've got a show. There's other shows. I think the more you do it, if you're down in the lobby there, grab some of these USGA guys. I'd love for them to come in. You know, I'd love to hear what's going on down there. I mean, I think that's a great thing. All this stuff is good for tennis. This is all good for tennis in the long run.
Let me tell you real quick about the meeting I'm at right here, okay? So about 3 weeks ago, I got a letter. And I got this letter in the mail, and it said, all right, we want you to come to Atlanta. We got about 15 people. There's about 10 coaches invited, some administrative people, and come to Manhattan. Okay, now 3 nights ago, I'm getting ready to come. I get a call from Patrick McEnroe. And Patrick goes, Chuck, Coach, look, we're looking forward to having you down to Atlanta, and just please come in and speak your heart and do this. I go, whoa, okay, this is good. This is really, really good. I'm very, very impressed he took the time to call me like this. And the beautiful thing is it set a tone for what we have down here going on, JP. And as much criticism as the USTA has gotten time before, they're really trying to bring people together in not just to try to get their agenda, but they're asking questions. They're saying, why isn't this working? Why do we need more of here? What's going on between the sections? A lot of it has been that, you know, they recognize they don't want to just be top-down managers. They want effective leadership. And it's been really refreshing. It really has from a lot of different angles. And I've always credited, like, Scott Schultz for being wide open and asking questions and really making people feel comfortable. Bill Mountford's always been very kind to me. And, you know, of course you got Kent Kinnear as a Clemson guy, and, you know, but Jay Berger's out there, a Clemson guy. But the point being, JP, is it's really, really been a refreshing thing. And, JP, we've got somebody on the line here. I want to see if they want to come on the show today. Area code 828-266. Would you like to come on the show today and you have some comments?
Well, hey, Chuck, this is Mike Crenodal. I wanted to first
Mike
wish you
Crenodal.
And JP a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
You're a kind man, and we actually, you were talked about at breakfast this morning at my table a little bit. And the quote that gets pushed around a lot here is where the Skip Fosbury, the Fosbury flop, where would it be if we did everything cookie cutter? So
yeah, Dick Fosbury.
This is going to be famous around the world of tennis, Mike. But go ahead. What kind of comments do you have for us today?
Well, it was more of a question for you and JP, and it's kind of a looking at a couple of different pieces of information. One was I read an interesting article a couple of days ago about a project that had been just completed. I guess it was a kind of a little bit of a research project, and the what they came up with was that players generally seem to have more success if they go through their tennis, the learning part of their tennis career with a private coach as opposed to going to the academies. and the long-term success seems to be better. And then with this new ruling that I just read about the ITA changing things over to, you know, shortening the length of the matches and everything. And by the way, Chuck, I'm sure you remember the Winthrop incident where, you know, they were coming home really late at night and a couple of players were killed. And, you know, I think that had a little bit of impetus to, you know, changing the parameters a little bit. But I kind of wanted to see what you guys thought about how those two separate but maybe somewhat correlated pieces of information will affect tennis, or will it affect tennis at all?
JP?
Mike, nice to hear from you. I respect a lot of what you've written, and I appreciate it. I hope to hear more from you. I wish they had invited you down there probably to talk with some of those guys.
That'll never happen.
As far as a shortened format, you know, I don't know. I'm not quite following. Were you saying that because of the longer format, the Winthrop team died, or?
You know, a lot of times, and Chuck, I'm sure, you know, you remember the days. You know, we would be playing these, you know, really long matches. You know, we started singles first, and we'd have to wait around for the doubles players to, you know, finish and get the partners together, and we'd be driving our teams back really, really late at night. And you know, the Winthrop team had that. I think Sid Carvello was the coach, and they had that horrible accident. And I think that provided a little impetus for, you know, trying to change things around, maybe going doubles first and then singles, so that it wouldn't take nearly as much time. I'm not saying that the length of the matches necessarily had anything to do with it, but I'm just looking at it. It looks like part of what they're doing here is they're going to shorten the length of the matches even more. It looks like at 5-5 you play a tiebreaker and you've got the no-ad scoring, and it seems to be a real change to some of the basic parameters of college tennis. And I was wondering how you thought that this would prepare our players to go into the pros.
It won't, is the quick answer, Mike. And I want you both to hang on here a minute, because I'm going to, in 3 minutes or less, tell you the story. And this is the accurate story about what happened, what's happening. First of all, you're exactly right. Back when that happened with Winthrop, and back in those days, they went into a lot of experimentation with different formats. We tried just about everything for 3 or 4 years. And there was, and then Paul Scarpa stood up in the middle of a meeting, and the Paul Scarpa system of doubles first, what we have, A-game pro set, and singles afterwards was adopted, and we went 20 years with this. Last year at the NCAA tournament, with 32 teams at the tournament, 16 men and 16 women, it was cluster circus. Is that the best way to put it? You know, teams were starting at 11 o'clock at night, not finishing till 2 in the morning. Some had to play at 8:30 in the morning with 10 fans in the stands at the NCAAs. Well, this was because we had 16 men and 16 women teams at the tournament. Go on record to say in 2004 or 5, when they first started putting the women and the men together, there was a vote taken at the NCAA tournament men's meeting, in the ITA meeting. 51 voted against joining the teams together. Only 2 voted for. We are still the only team, the only sport in the United States that puts men and women together, even basketball or any of the others. Now, you have track and field and those things, but we're the only sport. So the long story short is that it's a ruse that they have said NCAA has dictated this and this and this. We have to do it under 3 hours, 3 hours, 3 hours. This summer, there were a group of coaches who were parading and trying to get this done, 3 hours, 3 hours, 3 hours. They rallied 5 or 6 athletic directors to go to the U.S. Open. They came up with a format of singles first, singles only if somebody got to 4. If you split 3-3, then they would play 10-point tiebreakers for the match. Everybody goes,
yeah.
Whoa, wait a minute, especially the ITA officials. the ITA basically panics and they say, wow, they're taking over, USTA / NCAA's taking over college tennis. So they came up with a counter proposal, and it was a proposal of one ad only, so you would get to the 40-40 point, and then you were allowed one ad, then you would play a no-ad system. People were very much opposed, the best way I could say this, to this system. It met with a big outcry. Hence, we go to the ITA convention the other day. I drove down back 9 hours, and I basically left feeling okay about things because when we went down there, Mike and JP, with in mind that let's battle this out, we were in a room, and the leaders of the ITA got up, and they put two things up on the board. Guys, we got to change. We've got to be under 3 hours. It's a mandate. We've got to be under 3 hours. Brian Boland from Virginia got up and said, it's not about the three-hour match. It's not about the format. It's about that we had 32 teams at the NCAA finals, and it was a circus. We were not professional. And that's the truth of the matter is that. There's a thing that when you want one of your agendas pushed forward, you create a crisis and then you solve it with your solution that you wanted in the first place. So myself and many of the coaches believe that the three-hour mandate is a ruse. We do not believe that it is accurate. And if they want to do their show matches that way, fine. But we believe in the dignity and the integrity of the full match, full scoring and everything. So anyhow, here's what happened, guys. They put up two formats on the board. Okay, it's got to be one of these two. One of them was play sets to five, two out of three sets to five with regular scoring, and the doubles would only be one set. All right, that was one. The other alternative was play full matches, but all of them no ad. Well, the coaches voted. 21-19 was the vote, and we're going to have an article coming out about the 21-19 mandate. It's sort of 21-19 farce or whatever you want to call it. But 51-2 is a very important number, and 21-19, because the 21-19 vote then was taken into the back room that evening, and somebody got up and said, well, guys, it's a 21-19 vote. And another guy said, and I got from the horse's mouth of people who were on the committee, they said, that's really not a mandate. It's so close, we better come up with the solution. So they took the worst of those two things, Mike and JP. They took the no-ad scoring, and they took the shortened sets and put them together with what they have now is games to five, no-ad scoring, and it is the biggest crock of malarkey. And they can make you know what I'm talking about? They can maybe make you look at malarkey, maybe smell malarkey, but they shouldn't make you eat malarkey. And that's what they're shoving it down everybody's throat. It is unbelievable that they could do this. And so we have pushback going. Hence, the MDTA, Men's Division I Tennis Association, has been established and will have its own coaches' poll coming out. Hence, we have two sides now. It is a divided front, and it is right now the outrage is the fact if you lose that vote and you walk away with something you don't want, you can say, okay, like JP, I had a vote up on the table up at the USTA meeting in New York about playing doubles first and playing full matches. The vote went down to our national committee 10-9. I walked out of there and I said, good fight, guys. At least we had a good fight. A lot of things on the table. Okay, let's go. Let's go forward. But when they passed 21-19, and then for them to go in there and to do that, that's like two guys running for governor in the state of North Carolina, Mike, and they say, you know what, the vote was too close to be a mandate, so let's choose Senator so-and-so over here that we both like or we all like. It's an outrage. So that's the story of it. So there's going to be pushback, and there should be pushback, and shame on people who do think that they own this sport of tennis, and it comes down to this simple fact. You honor the game, it will honor you. They're not honoring the game. They're honoring they want an entertainment format that maybe pushes their thing forward, but it's not an honor of the game. So, guys, I took about 4.5 minutes there. So what do you say, guys? Go ahead, Mike. You got any thoughts first?
Yeah, they keep tweaking things, and it seems like, was there any reason given why they felt like they had to have the men's and the women's championships together as opposed to separate, which would alleviate a lot of the problems? Is
well,
it just a marketing
thing?
Well,
the real reason or what they said? What? Go ahead, JP. What?
I said sex sells.
No, unfortunately, one of the negatives is you have...
Hey, don't get me started on that.
You have 8 teams on both sides that have lost on the first day, and one coach brought up, he said, whoa, wait a minute. We have created a very combustive situation in those hotels. Of all those players that have lost, are you kidding me? You put 8 boys and 8 women, girls teams together in a hotel. And
they're very fit.
Party going on. Are you kidding me? So that's
they're very fit.
But what they said,
yeah,
Mike.
Let me ask you a question. Can I say something on this?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Do you know who Sports Shirt Bill was? Sports Shirt Bill was Bill Veeck. He was the promoter for. He was a promoter for the Cubs, and he had a midget go out and bat, and he had a goat go out there. He did all kinds of things to try and get fannies in the seats. And what they're telling you about, somehow this is probably coming, and to be perfectly honest, it's probably coming in large part. He's probably somewhere behind the scenes. I love the guy. He's one of the best coaches I ever worked for. It's coming a little bit from Tim Kass. Tim Kass has got the idea that if we can get more fannies in the seats, it'll make tennis more important. And, so they're doing all kinds of sports promotions. I think that they've done better to dress the girls in bikinis when they play their matches. How about tackling? How about allowing tackling? In other words, on the changeovers, you could tackle your opponent, do something like that. And look, all this change, it goes back to what you're saying, Coach. They're destroying the integrity of the game. Look, with Bill Veeck, he put a midget out there to bat, but in the end, the integrity of baseball has stayed the same. A baseball game is still 9 innings. It's still going to take a certain amount of time. Collegiate baseball is still going to take a certain amount of time. You're probably never going to have all the fans at a tennis match. Somebody on the We Coach Tennis thing was talking about the fact that, look, you start with 100 people at a tennis match and you end with 2 because it's too long. That's not the way it works. No. People show up, for doubles, they leave. They show up for the singles, they leave. They show up for both. And at any point in time, you have a lot of different people watching a tennis match. But what they're doing is destroying, and it goes back to what Mike just mentioned, they're tweaking the game. They're tweaking the junior game. They're tweaking the collegiate game. All this tweaking that they're doing is killing things. Now it goes back. Let me say one more thing.
When you tweak, you end up making it weak. JP, it's not about format. It is for lack of...
That's what I said. Need to stick with something that... Stop tweaking. Stop trying to... Honor the game. Like you said, honor the game. Honor the integrity of this game. Let's hold it. Let's hold it at some point. Let's not turn it into... you might as well have gone... Okay, maybe my, call for bikinis on the girls and tackling on the side, the changeovers or something like that's a little, but they could have gone the World Team Tennis route. World Team Tennis has got cheerleaders. They've got all this other stuff, and yet they don't have television contract. I don't know that it's going to increase the number of fans to the point that it makes tennis that much greater of an event on a college campus.
Education.
That's a bad thing. Let me tell you. One of the things you're talking about here, Coach, look, and you and I have had this talk before. Power, Mike, and you might, I'd love for you to talk about this because you've seen it. ITA is a grassroots organization. All these organizations are, to a large extent, grassroots. The power goes to the people that do. And absolute power goes to, people when there's no control. I think it's preposterous that you guys go down there, you make the trip down there, there comes up a vote. They vote a certain way, Mike, Coach Creasy, and now it's changed? Come on. Come on.
It's
what's
not
going
like
on there?
It happens once or twice. It happens all the time, and they say, no, this was a straw poll. We're really taking the advisory board. So they lose credibility, so they wear down the old coaches. Most of the top 20 coaches weren't even there. They throw up their hands and say, forget it. It doesn't matter. The young coaches basically get – they're afraid to stand up and to speak out. So you end up doing what the group. So, you know, again, it's about education versus entertainment. And rightfully so, if you can have both of those together, you've got a winning program. You've got a winning team. Most of the time people – they are leaning one way or the other, a little more, education over entertainment. Some people a little more entertainment over education. But the point being is that this was a trickery and this was a sleight of hand and this was one of those ruses that it just doesn't sit right and it's not going to sit right. It was wrong, wrong, wrong. That's the only way you can say it. And, you know, we're not naming names here, but certain groups and people have lost tremendous credibility and respect for everybody that was in that room. And a couple coaches even stood up in the meeting when they changed and said, look, we already have a vote. It was 21-19, and people said, well, that wasn't definitive. We have to do something different. So, Mike, I'm going to give you the last word. We got about a minute and a half to go here.
I'm kind of at a loss for words, to be perfectly honest. It seems like, you know, I don't know. It just seems like everything that you see this day and age, people, you know, from the government on down, they can be on national television and say something, and then 5 months later they can say with a straight face, even though they were caught on television, I didn't say that. And, you know, people are being appointed that shouldn't be appointed and votes are being taken that aren't being adhered to. And it just sounds like it really doesn't matter what you do. It's whoever has the big power wand is the one that makes the final decision, no matter what everybody else thinks. And I just, it's kind of frustrating to see what's happening. It really is.
Coach Creasy, keep doing what you're doing now. Coach Creasy's out there, make it coach as much as you can. Get opportunities for American boys. American boys need to be able to play tennis. They need it.
We are.
They need the competition. They need to be able to play. Keep recruiting American kids and get other people to start recruiting American kids.
Yeah. Hey, look, guys, we got to go here in a second. But remember, all that it takes for evil to prosper, for good men to do nothing. But listen, this is important, too. If you're not harnessed by the truth, you have a considerable advantage until you're found out. But the problem now is that when you are found out, it takes a long time to lose your credibility. And I don't know, that's what Mike's speaking to right now. It's really, really a sad thing. So we really appreciate both of you coming on.
Love, talk,
and
thanks, Coach.
Good luck yep. Next year, Chuck.
Made in America. Semper Fi tattooed on his Simpsons. Spent a little more in the store for a tag in the back of this USA. Won't buy nothing that he can't fix. With WD-40 and a Craftsman wrench, he ain't president. He's just made in America.
I'd like to thank J.P. Weber and Mike Renodal for being on the show today. And that was a great show. And basically, folks, that's what we need to do. We need to, you know, don't talk about people, talk about issues, but by golly, stand up for what's going on. In college tennis, it's not for Matt. It's for lack of each one of us standing up when there were all these matches taken away from us, all these practice days taken away from us, and scholarships taken away on the men's side, tennis being diminished in the 80s and early 90s, for lack of standing up to all of the international players taking all the spots from the Americans without of political correctness, no outcry, for lack of each one of us as coaches standing up and going out onto our campus and getting better following, for lack of being quiet when things were silently being pushed down our throats, and for lack of doing nothing, we're getting just the medicine that we have earned. And we'll keep you posted on the college tennis arena. It really is a shame, and we'll keep you posted. It's the greatest amateur event in the world of tennis, so we hope it goes better. Folks, I want to remind you that you're in the process of winning or losing every day of your life, and it has very little to do with a win or a loss. We wanted to ask you to stay tuned next week to American Tennis. This is Coach Chuck Creasy, and, you know, I wanted to remind you of all the other UR Tennis shows that we have every week. Thanks for tuning next week at noon, next Wednesday at noon. God bless each and every one of you.
Opinions stated by various contributors to the UR Tennis Network and its programming are not to be considered as endorsed by the UR Tennis Network. Participants are encouraged to use their own discernments and draw their own conclusions. All information, products, and services offered by the UR Tennis Network are for personal use only. The UR Tennis Network does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of information contained within the network. Any products or services provided for should be used solely for entertainment purposes. We emphasize the idea of keeping an open mind and not construing the products, services, or data as factual.